I want to share a thought with you. If I were to entitle it, I'd entitle it God's Unearned Kindness. God's Unearned Kindness. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Just to give you a little bit of a background, David has now been established as king for some time now. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 1, I'll read the story to you. If you don't have a Bible with you this evening, I'll read it through real quick. One day David asks, "Is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" He summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. "Are you Ziba?" the king asked. "Yes, sir, I am," Ziba replied. The king then asked him, "Is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them." Ziba replied, "Yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. "In Lodibar," Ziba told him, "at the home of Maker, son of Amiel." So David sent for him and brought him from Maker's home. His name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low to the ground in deep respect, and David said, "Greetings, Mephibosheth." Mephibosheth replied, "I am your servant." "Don't be afraid," David said. "I tend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table." Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, "Who is your servant that you should show such kindness to a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and servants are to farm the land for him to produce food for your master's household. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will eat here at my table." Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba replied, "Yes, my lord the king, I am your servant and I will do all that you have commanded." And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table like one of the king's own sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. From then on, all the members of Ziba's household were Mephibosheth's servants. And Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, lived in Jerusalem and ate regularly at the king's table. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story. I just love this story. It's a wonderful story. It's a beautiful story. Why is it so pretty? Why is it so beautiful? Why is it so awesome? Why does it make me smile so much? Well, I'll tell you why tonight. David shows Mephibosheth kindness on behalf of Jonathan. David is a type and a foreshadow of the Lord in this particular story. The term kindness here is closely related to the forgiveness of sins. It is one of the most important words in the Hebrew Old Testament, this word kindness here. The King James term loving kindness is not far from capturing the full meaning of the word kindness here. Other definitions are love, benevolence, goodwill, favor, benefit, grace, mercy, piety, loyalty, unfailing love, and beauty. I love that. All summed up in this word, kindness. This is the closest equivalent to the word grace in the New Testament. A favor done without expectation of return. absolute freeness of the loving kindness of God to men. Unearned, unmerited favor. In verse 3, we read that David wanted to show him the kindness of God. He wanted to show him the kindness of God. And David, being a type of the Lord, wants to show you God's kindness, his father's kindness. He wants to show you kindness tonight. And he shows us kind of, Jonathan had a son who was crippled in both feet. The term crippled meant smitten, maimed. Figuratively, it meant dejected. In other words, low in spirits, depressed, downcast, contrite, lame. All of us were crippled at some point. And some may feel crippled even now. Maybe you online, you've written in your prayer request, or you've tuned into our webcast tonight, and maybe tonight you feel crippled. Crippled by our sin. Crippled by someone else's actions towards us. I think of those that have been abused or hurt or wounded or by someone else, taken advantage of by someone who was dear to you or maybe should have taken care of you. I think of Mephibosheth, for example, who his nurse dropped him as a child. And as a result, he was crippled in both his feet. The nurse, the one who was supposed to be taking care of him and carrying him to safety and looking after him. Someone trusted, someone close to the family, someone who had access to him as a baby, drops him, and suddenly he's crippled as a result. Crippled by someone else's actions towards us. Tonight, maybe you were crippled because of an event or a thing that took place. Crippled by an expectation that wasn't met. Crippled by a bad habit or addiction, which we prayed for tonight. Crippled by some past hurt. Maybe that's you tonight. Verse 4 says that Jonathan's son lived in a town called Lodibar. And Lodibar meant no pasture. No pasture. It was a place of no pasture. It was a place where it would have been difficult to live. Have you ever found yourself in a difficult place? I said, have you ever found yourself in a difficult place? Maybe a difficult season in your life. This is where Jonathan's son lived. He found himself in a difficult place, in a difficult season in his life. The Bible says in verse 5, but David sent for him. David sent for him and brought him from Maker's house. And in the same way, the Lord sends for us and brings us to him. You may be in a difficult place tonight, but then the Lord comes looking for you. He comes looking for you and I, and he sends for us. The Holy Ghost comes and finds us and seeks us out, searches us out. Some of us, we were in a bar. Some of us, we were in a crack den. Some of us, we were in a bed we shouldn't have been in. Some of us, we were watching things or listening to things or doing things that we shouldn't have been doing. And the Lord sent for us and came and found us and got us and brought us from that place to himself. I love it. The Lord sends for us and brings us to him. Aren't you glad tonight? You know, an interesting side note. Maker, he brought him from Maker's house. Maker was son of Amiel, Mephibosheth's host. Later on, supports David when Absalom revolts against him. Interesting. David had shown kindness to Mephibosheth, lifted the load off of Maker, because it would have been difficult to take care of Mephibosheth, to have to look after him. And so David shows kindness and he reaps what he's sown. Because later on in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 27, the Bible says Maker supported David as he fled from Absalom's revolt. Verse 6 tells us that when Mephibosheth came to David, he bowed low to the ground in deep respect and said, "I am your servant." This is the usual response, you know, when the king calls. When the king calls you, there's something that rises up in your heart when you recognize who it is. There is a respect, there is an honor, there's a humbling of yourself. There's a desire to just want to serve this incredible, loving Savior, this God who just sent for you. There's just this yearning in your heart to just want to serve in whatever way you possibly can. It's just a natural response when you come and stand before the king. In verse 7, the Bible tells us David said, "Don't be afraid." Why? Because he must have perceived that Mephibosheth must have felt afraid or wondered, "Am I in trouble?" Have you ever felt like that? The boss calls you into their office. Teacher calls into her office. "Am I in trouble? Did I do something wrong?" David said, "Don't be afraid." You know, some of us are afraid when the Lord calls us. Sometimes we're afraid of what it's going to cost. We're afraid of what he's going to ask. We're afraid of the price. We're afraid of the cross. We're afraid to surrender, to put up the white flag. We're afraid that we're not going to have fun anymore. Some of us have a misconception. We have these preconceived ideas about what the king may require of us, what he may ask of us. Sometimes there's a fear. I remember when I first came to the Lord, and you know, you sing this song, "I surrender all," right? "I surrender," and I did up until that moment, until the Lord came knocking again and said, "I want you to surrender this now. I want you to surrender your free time. How you spend your free time, I want you to surrender it to me." But I'm like, "Lord, this is my free time. I want you to surrender your free time." And I'm the type usually, you know, Jesus tells a story of a father who had two sons. One son, he said, "Would you do this?" And the son said, "Yeah, I'll do it." And he never does it. And then the other son, he says, "Will you do that?" And the other son says, "No, I'm not doing that." But then he ends up doing it. That's usually me. When the Lord says, "Would you do this?" Usually I'm like, but eventually I put up the white flag because God's will is perfect. Like we sing, he's perfect in all of his ways, right? We serve a good, good father. A good father. He's a good father, folks. He's a good father. David said, "Don't be afraid." Sometimes we can be afraid to come to Christ. For whatever the reason, then the Lord reveals his intentions to us. He said, "Don't be afraid. I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table." Because of David's covenant agreement with Jonathan, Mephibosheth was shown kindness. Do you know, because of the covenant between God the Father and God the Son, we too are shown kindness and everything we need is provided. Before the foundations of the world, God made a covenant with his Son to come and redeem you and I because he knew we would falter. He knew man would sin. The Bible says the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world. Why was he saying? Because it was already a done deal. It was already decided in God's heart that the Lamb of God would die for you and I. You know, Mephibosheth didn't have to work for it. He didn't have to work to be at the king's table. He didn't have to earn it. In fact, he couldn't because he was crippled in both feet. He couldn't pay the price. He couldn't cover the cost. He was living in a place of no pasture. We serve Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. What is it that you need tonight? Do you need favor tonight? Do you need help tonight? Do you need grace tonight? Do you need cleansing? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need direction? Do you need healing? Do you need strength? Do you need housing? Do you need a friend? Do you need joy? Do you need beauty for ashes? Do you need to know that you are right with God tonight? Do you need to know that when you die, you're going straight into the arms of Jesus? Do you need to know that tonight? Do you need the ability to get through what you're going through right now and to come out on the other side without the smell of smoke, giving God praise? He's got it. I said he's got it. As a matter of fact, he is it. He said, I am. Moses said, who shall I say sent them? He says, tell them I am that I am. I am the great shepherd. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread who has come down from heaven. I am everything you will ever need. I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Didn't he say, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink? Not only that, I'm going to give you back everything that rightfully belongs to you. I love it. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather Saul. I'm going to give it all back to you. In verse 8, Mephibosheth is blown away by the king's kindness. And so should we be. We should be too. Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, who is your servant that you should show such kindness to somebody like me? Who am I? It's not something we earn, folks. It's God's choice to love on us. It's God's choice to spoil us. It's God's choice to bless us. It's God's choice to make a way where there is no way for us. It is God's choice to lead and guide us. It's God's choice to anoint us. It's God's choice that you and I should go forth and bear forth fruit and that our fruit should remain, that the Father would be glorified. It is God's choice. It's not that you and I are special in some kind of way. No, it's God's choice. That's what grace is. It's unearned, unmerited. Hallelujah. Are you blown away? I said, are you blown away? Yes. Folks, that's why we can pray tonight. That's why we can knock on heaven's door at midnight and say, I've got a friend that needs bread. Hallelujah. I've got family members, coworkers, neighbors, classmates that are in need tonight. Hallelujah. Verse 9 through 11 says this, then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul. I've given it to him and his family. You and your sons and servants are to farm the land for him to produce food for your master's household. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will eat here at my table. Hallelujah. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And Ziba replied, yes, my lord the king, I am your servant and I will do all that you have commanded. And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate at the king's table. You know, he took care of everything. The king took care of everything. King Jesus takes care of everything. From that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table, like one of the king's own sons. I love that. From that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at the king's table like one of the king's own sons. Do you know what your identity is? Do you know what your identity is? If you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you are a born-again believer tonight, you are royalty. You are one of the king's sons. One of the king's daughters. That is your identity. He is awesome in this place, folks. David sought Mephibosheth out. He had his servants go and find him and bring him to him. In the same way, when we are crippled, when we were crippled, God sought us out, showed us favor, and provided all we need. Mephibosheth was always to be in the king's presence. He was always to be in the king's presence. This is your place as well. You are always welcome in the presence of King Jesus. It doesn't matter what type of year, month, week, or day you've had. You are always welcome in the presence of the king. It almost sounds too good to be true, but it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Imagine if Mephibosheth responded, "No, I'm good." Or if he had stayed in a place of fear and chose not to come. Or if he had neglected to come to the king's table when he found himself in need, it would have all been on him. Because everything was provided. It would have been because he failed to access and use all that had been already provided for him. Verse 13 says, "And Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, lived in Jerusalem and ate regularly at the king's table." You and I have got to eat regularly at the king's table. He lived in Jerusalem and ate regularly at the king's table. Jerusalem. He went from a place of no pasture to Jerusalem, a city of peace. I love that. Do you understand what we're talking about tonight? God's unearned kindness, God's grace. It's available to you, it's available to me. Hallelujah.